I'll just read some passages, first of all, from, well, actually, I'm going to start in 2 Samuel 14, in verse 24. In all Israel, there was not a man so highly praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom. From the top of his head to the sole of his foot, there was no blemish in him. Whenever he cut the hair of his head, he used to cut his hair once a year because it became too heavy for him. He would weigh it, and it weighed 200 shekels. That's about 5 pounds by the royal standard. So if you were making real hair wigs, you'd certainly want him as a customer. And then in chapter 15, in the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses and with 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate whenever anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision. Absalom would call to him, "What town are you from?" He would answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper, but there is no representative of the king to hear you." And Absalom would add, "If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or cause could come to me, and I would see that they receive justice." Also, whenever anyone approached him and bowed down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand and take hold of him. Absalom behaved in this way toward all the Israelites who came to the king asking for justice, and so he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. At the end of 4 years, Absalom said to the king, "Let me go to Hebron and fulfill the vow I made to the Lord. While your servant was living in Geshur in Aram, I made a vow that if the Lord would take me back to Jerusalem, I would worship the Lord in Hebron." The king said to him, "Go in peace." So he went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent secret messengers throughout the tribes of Israel to say, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpets, then say, 'Absalom is king in Hebron.'" 200 men from Jerusalem had accompanied Absalom. They had invited as guests and went quite innocently, knowing nothing about the matter. While Absalom was offering sacrifices, he also sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, to come from Gilo, his hometown. And so the conspiracy gained strength, and Absalom following kept on increasing. A messenger came and told David, "The hearts of the people of Israel are with Absalom." And so then David flees because, yeah, the hearts of the people are with Absalom. But then while he is on the run, then we meet another person. The king said to Ittai, the Gittite, "Why should you come along with us? Go back and stay with the king Absalom." Notice David calls him already king. "You are a foreigner, as an exile from your homeland. You came only yesterday, and today shall I make you wander about with us when I do not know where I am going? Go back and take your people with you. May the Lord show kindness to you and faithfulness." But Ittai replied to the king, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king may be, whether it means life or death, there will your servant be." David said to Ittai, "Go ahead, march on." So Ittai and the Gittite marched on with all the people. Ahithophel, and now I'm down to verse 30 here, is among the counselors with Absalom. So David prayed, "Lord, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness." And then, I won't read it. I'll just quickly mention it. So David is on the run. Absalom is in Jerusalem. he's got Ahithophel with him, and Ahithophel, he says to Absalom, "This is what you should do: sleep with your father's concubines when whom he left. Take care of the palace. Then all Israel will hear that you have made yourself obnoxious to your father, and the hand of everyone with you will be more resolute." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and he slept with his father's concubine in the sight of all Israel. Now, in those days, the advice Ahithophel gave was like that of one who inquires of God. That was how both David and Absalom regarded all of Ahithophel's advice. So there's one other, if you keep reading, and I suggest maybe you do read it at home, there's one other person, Hushai, and he wanted to go with David. David says, "You know what you should do? You should go to Absalom, but then maybe give him some advice." And so Ahithophel had told Absalom, "Well, you know what you should do? You should go follow David. Only take David captive, and then you shall be king." But Hushai said, "No, you know what you should do is you should take an army, and you should get all of David's army, and then be victorious, and then that will be good for you." And so remember, David had prayed that Hushai's advice would be followed, and that's exactly what Absalom did. He followed Hushai's advice. Ahithophel knew that that was not going to work. He went home and he prepared his affairs, and then he killed himself. And then the onsetting war, and that's when Absalom got his hair caught, and he was killed. And so that was the end of Absalom's trying to become king. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the other day at a restaurant, I ordered my favorite food. That was a hamburger. It covers all the food groups. But then the waitress said, "Well, what would you like? Would you like fries with that or a salad?" And I hate that question, because I love fries. But I know that may be for immediate gratification, but in the long run, I know that a salad is better. And so it's a very difficult choice for me. We all make choices, right? I heard the other day, I think, and don't totally quote me on that, but somebody said in our brains we make about 45,000 decisions a day. And so we're always making choices. Some choices are innocuous, whether you go shopping at Superstore or you go Sobeys or whatever. I mean, it really doesn't matter. But there are other decisions that can have eternal consequences, whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, or there's many, many other choices that we make. And so this morning we're looking at the Absalom stories. Now Absalom and David the king, and Absalom his son, they are the two main characters. But there are a couple of supporting characters that I would like to highlight this morning. One is Ahithophel. Now, Ahithophel was the counselor to David. He was David's friend. But what choice did Ahithophel make? Ahithophel made the choice to follow Absalom. And by that choice, it right away gave credibility to the war, or to the revolution, or that Absalom was going to become and take over as king. And then there was this other, Ittai. He was a foreigner, a Philistine. And he said to David, "I'm going to join you." And David said, "Don't be crazy, man. I mean, look at me. I'm on the run. Go to King Absalom." He already called him king. Then you're going to have a much easier life. But Ittai said, "No, the choice was to follow David almost like Ruth made to Naomi, where you will be, I will be, your God will be my God. And so he said, whether I live or whether I die, I am with you. And so here are these two people in this narrative making these opposite choices. Why would they make those choices? Well, that's what we'd like to find out this morning. So here is David. David by now has been king for some time, and he was a king to be reckoned with. He had established the borders, and so he was a powerful king. But of course, David, he had his flaws. And so we probably know the story of Bathsheba when the country was at war, as a matter of fact. He was on the roof and kind of relaxing, and he saw Bathsheba, and he called her over, and we know the rest of the story. Nathan, the prophet, was very, very angry. Angry with him, and so he prophesied against him. And we can just read. Let me just read in verse 12. This is Nathan now speaking. This is what the Lord says: out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all the people. And so this prophecy was certainly borne out in reality. David's oldest son was Amnon, and he was the crown prince. He would be king after David died. But Amnon became enamored with his half-sister Tamar, and he too had his way with her. Absalom is the full brother of Tamar, and he was livid, and he found a way to kill Amnon. And so all of this was going on in David's family. And so here was Absalom. And as we have read already, he didn't have any flaws from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot. But Absalom, as he went around and people were, he was the next thing. People were bowing down at him, and if only you were the king, then we would have justice. Then Israel would be great again. And so there he was. And so as that happened, he had chariots, which was something new. He had 50 bodyguards. And so if a poll would have been given at that time, there's no doubt about it. He was going to be king, and he was going to be the powerful one. You might as well just to simply affiliate with him if you know what is good for you. The hearts of the people were with Absalom. And when David heard that, David fled. One of the people that he went to Hebron, ostensibly to make an offering there, but he really was going to organize a coup. One of the people who supported Absalom was Ahithophel, and immediately Absalom's coup took on legitimacy. Who was Ahithophel? Ahithophel was a counselor to David. We think that when David was writing Psalm 55, that these words were in reference to Ahithophel. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it, he says. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, one like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God, and we walked about among the worshipers. This was his companion. This was Ahithophel. But Ahithophel decided to go on with Absalom. David saw the writing on the wall, and he left. And what did Ahithophel tell Absalom to do? Because David, when he left some of the concubines at the palace to take care of the palace. And he said, take those concubines and have your way with them. And we read that that's what happened. Ahithophel was not yet finished with his advice. And as I mentioned, Ahithophel told Absalom to go with some warriors, just capture David, just only him, and then you will kill David and you will be king. But then Hushai gave the different advice, as I mentioned earlier, and Absalom followed Hushai's advice, and then Ahithophel decided to end his life because he knew that the game was over. But now, why did Ahithophel give this advice to Absalom? Why did he abandon his friend David? Well, the Bible strongly hints at an answer. In 2 Samuel 23:34, we read that Eliam was the son of Ahithophel. And in 11 verse 3, we read that Bathsheba was the daughter of Eliam. In other words, Bathsheba was the granddaughter of Ahithophel. And not only that, Eliam's best buddy there was Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband. And so in one swoop, so to speak, in that sin of David, Ahithophel lost, or not lost, but his granddaughter was acted upon in an ungodly way. His son's best friend was killed, and so he was angry. And he nursed that anger. He nursed that bitterness for about 11 years. And so then when Absalom came, he said, you know what? I'm going to join with Absalom. And this is my way to get back at David for that dastardly deed he has done. And so that's what he did. And no wonder he gave that advice to Absalom to have his way with the concubines on the roof in public, just as Nathan had predicted. Because what he did, what David did on the roof was so evil. And so now you're going to get a little bit of your own punishment there, David. And so that's why Ahithophel made the choice that he did. Was Ahithophel justified in that anger, in that bitterness against David? Of course he was. David did wrong. Nathan the prophet also made it very clear that David sinned. And David in Psalm 51, of course, he opened his heart. He knew that he had done wrong. He confessed his sin. But what does the Bible say about making choices that avenge, that try to get back at people? Are we justified in doing that? Does evil bring justice? So the Bible, and that's why we read from Romans chapter 12 earlier, as far as we are concerned, do good, show love. Let God take care of the avenging. And I know that's not always easy to do, but this is what the Bible is calling us to do. And it's Jesus who has every reason to get back at us. He is the one who gave his life so that we may have life. And so it is very understandable, the decision that Ahithophel made. But these decisions have consequences, and often these consequences are not pretty. So that was the choice that Ahithophel made. And where did it get him? And he realized that Absalom was not going to win, and so he ended his life. So that's why it's good for us to look at one other person who made a profoundly different choice. And that's Ittai, the Philistine. And so David is on the run. And there comes this Ittai, and he has a number of men with him. And he says, okay, I want to join you. And David is incredulous. He says, look, this really doesn't make sense. I'm on the run, and who knows what's going to happen to me. Go all the way to Jerusalem. Go join King Absalom, and that then you'll have a much easier, you'll have a much better life. Just go and make that choice. But Ittai says, no, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to side with you. Why? Why would he make that choice? To all appearances to the contrary, why would you make that choice? Ittai knew that David was God's anointed. Absalom was not God's anointed. And so Ittai says, wherever you are, my Lord, there I will be. Whether it means life or death, that does not matter. I identify with you. For him, comfort, ease, wealth, happiness were not the first and foremost, was not first and foremost. Rather, it was loyalty to the king, to the Lord's anointed. And so then David says, okay, go join with me. So try to go over this quite quickly, but what does it mean for you and me and the choices that we make? Well, I think there's an Ahithophel in each and every one of us. I know there is in me. Sometimes we may get angry with God. Things don't go the way we want them to go. What's the use of serving God? And then there are others who usurp the throne, who claim that we can offer you a much better life. And so that's the choice. You know, as I was thinking about this and I was watching the news, and there was a lot about Taylor Swift on the news. Now, I don't know much about Taylor Swift. From what I understand, she's a very nice person, caring person, and so I have nothing against Taylor Swift. But some of her fans were interviewed. One person, you know, and these fans, they adore her. They idolize her. They come, you know, six performances there in Toronto. 50, 60,000 people there each time. And said, you know, I had cancer. But as I was laying there, I was listening to Taylor's songs. And I was healed. And so they almost look at Taylor as a healer. Is it Taylor is able to bring people together like no one else can. And not only that, but people are exchanging friendship rings. In other words, people who don't even know each other, people who may have different ideas about things, yet they're exchanging friendship rings. And now you look at that. And now you look at the church, you look at the followers of Jesus, you look at the body of Jesus Christ, the church, and there's infighting, and now you look at these two pictures, thousands of people coming to the theater where she's doing her performances, and then you look at the church struggling away. The choices you make. And so you would be apt to make the choice for Taylor Swift in terms of, and so it's like a spiritual movement. You don't need Jesus. Taylor will bring healing to me. Taylor will bring friendship. Taylor will bring unity. That's what we are looking for. And so, but we know, of course, that it's not going to be forever. I still remember the Beatles. And I did all this swarm of fans surrounding them. And as a matter of fact, and it was on the cover of Time magazine, where John Lennon said, "We are more popular than Jesus." You see, that's, earlier you were talking about young people, questions that they have. And so you look at that. And what choices are you going to make? Are you going to make a choice for Jesus? Are you going to make a choice in the Church of Jesus Christ? And it's so easy just to look at the popularity, to look at Absalom, to look at his beauty, to look at what he has to offer. He's going to make life great again. But then we see Ittai. Ittai said, "No, David, he is the Lord's anointed. And so for you and I, even though, you know, there's so much that looks to the contrary, yet we know that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one who can bring healing forever. Jesus is the one who can bring us to the side of Jesus in eternity. And so therefore, all observances to the contrary, I hope and pray that as young and old, that we may say, but look, I choose for Jesus, because that's a choice with eternal consequences. And so I hope and pray that as the confession that Ittai made about David, I hope we can make for Jesus Christ, as surely as the Lord lives, and as the Lord my King lives, wherever my Lord the King may be, whether it means life or death, there will your servant be. Then we may know that we make the right choice in the light of eternity. Amen. Pray. Father in heaven, we live in a world where the church does not seem to be flourishing, where people are finding meaning and purpose in many, many other places. And we sometimes see the church floundering and criticizing each other. And so we're apt to just forget about it. And many people seem to be doing that in our society. But so we pray that we may know who is the anointed of God, that we may know that Jesus is King, and he will, and he is able, it's not just for temporarily, but he is able to bring us to you in eternity. And so help us to follow him in all that we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.